Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle, Sportoutfits, stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause, Designer-Handtasche, check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Wieder live von ihrem Toyota-Partner mit diesem Leasing-Auftakt. Der neue Toyota Yaris-Hybrid. Ab 179 Euro im Monat, ohne Anzahlung. Seine Sicherheitsassistenten laufen mit und ja, ab ins Netz mit voller Konnektivität. Auch am Start die Toyota Team Deutschland Sondermodelle. Ohne Anzahlung geht's in die nächste Runde. Jetzt los sprinten zu ihrem Toyota-Partner.
Welcome to a new episode of Fusecast. I'm here with Mike and Henry from Boston Manor.
Hey.
Hello. Nice to see you again.
It's been 1.5 years since Mike and I did a podcast with Ash. So what happened in between?
A lot of things, really. I don't think we've been back to Europe much. I think we've mainly been touring the US. What else have we done? Released a single.
Warp tour, we did
Warp tour.
Fucking loads of stuff, man. We did a couple of UK tours, I think. Maybe just the one actually in that time. I don't know. Yeah, we've been in America a lot. We wrote and recorded another album, which I guess we're going to talk about a little bit today. And yeah, we haven't stopped in it. If you guys saw each other a year and a half ago, we haven't really stopped to breathe since then, really. I don't think.
Yeah, what tour was that as well? Was that
Four Year Strong.
Four Year Strong tour?
No.
Or was it even
it
before
was
then?
Before that, it was, I think it was you headlining.
So that was
2016.
September 2000 or October 2016.
Yeah, I think October, November, so it was pretty cold.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was fucking freezing.
Yeah.
What city was that in?
Cologne.
Yeah, good show.
The NTC. With the backstage even more shitty than this one.
It's not too bad back here, actually.
No, it's cushy, yeah.
I've never been here.
I think it used to be a toilet, but still.
I think Oasis have played the venue. Look at that. Oasis, 2003. They haven't really.
Don't believe that. But sometimes they have pretty big bands here, so it's sweating hot.
It'd be funny if they played a stadium down the road and then decided to play this venue as well. But
or just turn up just to write on the bench.
Yeah.
Are you from Koblenz?
No, but I grew up in a city next to Koblenz and now I'm more in Cologne.
Ah, okay. So you say it, Koblenz?
Yes. Koblenz.
Yeah.
Did you see the city today or did you just...
I honestly haven't had a chance to walk around yet. I'm going to... excuse me. After this, probably have a little... A little wander for an hour if I can.
I went out to buy a toothbrush, so I walked. I walked pretty far actually. Like I walked a lot further than I thought I would have to, and it's so beautiful. Like there's like that big church and stuff, and you know I think to be honest we've been quite lucky on this tour. Every town we've visited so far has been
so
gorgeous, hasn't it? Like Freiburg was one of my favourite places.
Mm. Shout out Freiburg, what a beautiful city. And Oberhausen as well was really nice.
Whew.
Really?
Sorry, yeah, Oberhausen is like part of the Ruhrgebiet, which is very industrial and grey.
Well, we drove through a part of it that seemed pretty cool, but I didn't really get a chance to... I only saw Oberhausen from the van window, really.
But you play Cold Temple, right?
To be fair, that area was
windows.
Just in, like, warehouses and shit. Yeah,
but it's beautiful. The Cold Temple is beautiful. The venue.
Great venue. Mm. Great venue. Show is awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so we had to talk about your upcoming record, which will be out in September.
Yeah.
What is it going to be called?
It's called... Sorry, I'm eating pretzels. It's called...
doing that. It's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That. Get those away from me.
Are you eating cheese? It's called Welcome to the Neighborhood. And we're really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. I got the chance to listen to it, so I'm a little bit into the sound of it, but...
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. No, I listened to it like yesterday, the whole day at work. So how would you describe the sound?
It's a tough one, really. I mean, it's kind of for the people to decide. I mean, we can talk about what influenced the sound, I suppose, but we never sort of set out with a, like, a name for it. We just kind of started mashing together these sort of other sounds of other bands and bits and bobs that we liked, and I think it's come out sounding fairly unique. Like, I don't know, I couldn't say a band that it sounds just like, but you know, we were really into like sort of older alternative rock bands like Deftones and Failure and that kind of stuff, and then we also kind of really like bands like Nine Inch Nails. They're my favourite band, and some of the sort of the more industrial electronic sounds from that. But we're also quite into like a lot of hip hop and electronic music generally. So we kind of threw in some shades from all that stuff into what we kind of already kind of or what we already did, I guess. But it's definitely a departure.
Deftones was my first thought when I listened to the record.
That's cool. I'm so glad, because it's one a collective favourite band of Boston, man. Yeah. We're big Deftones
fans.
We
all fucking love Deftones. Radiohead as well, I guess, is another one.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. Like, I think a game changer was realizing that like we can do anything we want, because we've never been like marginalized or like pigeonholed. So it's actually really fun to just say, let's put in some electronic elements into this. And I like a lot of like Radiohead and Placebo and obviously like Nine Inch Nails as well. And it was so fun to play around that, and then it kind of opened a door. To sort of like almost like a limitless, I guess like a spring where we could just like, we could kind of do anything we wanted. It's kind of dangerous as well, because we didn't want to stray too far from the original sound that we had, but at the same time we were kind of just like, fuck it, let's write an album that we want to listen to.
And also we were kind of tired of getting called a pop punk band. I've never seen us really as, like, I get that we kind of came from that place. I think we were once, but like, I don't know.
We've not really been
huge pop punk fans. Like, we all like Blink-182, but we've never been like pop punk kids. We're a bit too old for that, to be honest. Like, by the time that kind of pop punk resurgence, I mean, we were around when the original pop punk thing came out. So this kind of pop punk resurgence that all these kids are discovering, you know, we stopped listening to that shit like 8 years before. Mm-hmm. At least I had, anyway. But yeah, so we kind of were just like, well, we might as well just do whatever we want, because there's no use in playing into the sort of the hands of a sort of a scene. Not, I don't want to say a scene, that's not true, but playing into the hands of a sound that we're not really into. Like, we don't want to play music that we don't like, so let's just do what the fuck we want to do, you know?
Yeah. And plus it's a lot more exciting to take it live as well, because we're always challenging ourselves as musicians as well, and even on this tour we're still figuring out how to run backing tracks for our new song Halo, and that in itself was a challenge. And then when you figure it out and you get it right, you feel like a lot more accomplished. And it goes the same for recording the record as well. We were doing things that we didn't even know we were capable of, and it was so rewarding to come out of it. And I think it was the most pleasant recording experience we've ever had. And by the end of it, we all felt like creatively fulfilled. And I don't think there's a single thing on that album that we'd change or do differently. Just because we all love it, and you know, I feel like we've just grown as musicians as well, which is amazing.
It's a different beast from the last album, really. It's just inspired us to write so much more. Like, as soon as we get back from this tour, we're gonna start writing a lot more music and trying to kind of expand on what we've done on this record and really learn how to hone some of those new instruments that we're fucking with, like synths and some other stuff as well. And I don't know, I think we were just sort of, because we wrote Be Nothing 3.5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. We didn't really know how to write songs then, you know? At least I didn't. These guys did better than me, but still, like, we didn't really have a fucking clue what we wanted to do. And I don't know, since in that time, that the whole 2 years of touring, that first album, we kind of worked out what kind of band we wanted to be and how to sort of write songs and how to blend our influences collectively together. And so I'm just brandishing this pretzel. Yeah, so I just fucking love it, man. I've listened to that record every day since we got the first mix back like 2.5 months ago, I think.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And that's our main goal, you know. And also, like, another thing that I don't understand is when bands are given a platform, why wouldn't you push yourself and do something as creative as possible just to be, you know, to be excited about writing music and not, you know, not have that dread of going, oh, I have to write another album now. And you know, rather like spin it on its head and saying, we can create something new and we can make something really exciting with this, you know. So
that's your job. You're a musician. You know what I mean? Like, at its very core, all your job description really entails is write, record and perform songs, you know. And if you don't want to do that, and you only spend 1 month every 3 years actually writing music, then what the fuck are you doing?
What are you doing? Yeah.
So let's talk about the tracks. Are there some songs that you can put together under one topic to make it easier so that we're not going through every song?
Do you want to talk about the general...
like the theme and stuff?
Umbrella,
yeah,
the theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Collectively, there's just a lot of stuff we're sort of frustrated with in modern day culture, I suppose, and particularly around our sort of generation. And so a lot of it is about sort of the disaffection of I don't know, apathy of young people today. And we just, I don't know, we just felt a mutual kind of boredom with a lot of stuff that was going on musically, culturally, you know, everything from TV to literature to just, obviously we have this huge void of people just spouting out their bullshit opinions on Twitter, and as people who, you know, we run our own band Twitter, so we read everyone's opinions, and not just people who like our band, but everyone, and you just see people's sort of the inner workings of people a little bit from that, and I don't know, I think we got a bit frustrated and disillusioned with it all, and we listened to a lot of, as I said before, like 90s music and, you know, that kind of whole wave of from post-punk to grunge to hardcore to nu metal that really erupted in that sort of, let's say, 15-year window, I'll say 10-year window. That was a product of the sort of frustration that a young generation felt of the oppression of their older generation, of Reaganomics, of, you know, MTV and Top of the Pops and whatever the fuck it was then, VH1 kind of... dominating what they listen to and all that kind of shit, and they were fed up with it, and they were fed up of being told what to do, they were fed up of being told what to listen to, what to dress like. So the response to that was grunge and nu metal and all this crazy fashion and angry music, and it went mainstream, you know, like Nirvana's Nevermind sold how many, Mike? I don't know, fucking bazillion records.
Yeah.
And it was huge, man. And kids were angry and they shouted about it and they fucking did what they wanted. And our generation seems to have done the opposite of that, which is just sort of bury their heads in the sand and
implode on themselves.
Yeah, and just swallow the lukewarm gruel that the cultural machine has given them. So I guess it's sort of a cry to just sort of, I don't know, just cut it out. Just fucking be interested in something and wake up and stop being so accepting and think you fucking know it all. Because I know nothing, man. And I'm, you know, I've been trying to know stuff for at least 10 years now. And I know fuck all, man. And I know more than a lot of fucking people my age as well. Like, I sound arrogant saying that, but kids these days have more information at their fingertips and they know less than people did at their age 10 years ago because they just don't do anything. Like, my best friend is a school teacher. And she teaches like 16 to 17 year olds. And she was like, she said, she's an art teacher. So she said, I want you to do like a collage about what you're interested in. What do you do? They're like, what do you mean? Like, well, what do you do? You know, you get home from school or the weekend, what do you do? And she's like, I just get home and sit on my bed and go on my phone. Well, you know, did you not read anything? Do you not, you know, hang out with your friends? No, I just talk to them on like Instagram and stuff. So then that's what everyone does. Like, or the even younger, man, they're on Xbox Live and they just play video games from being like 6 to being like 45. You know what I mean? Like, people are just fucking imploding on themselves.
We're going to end up all wired into the Matrix eventually.
Yeah, man. And it's dangerous when you get on this topic because you end up starting to sound like a fucking, you know, Green Day and being like, we need to wake up, man. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. We just got a bit frustrated with how sort of repetitive and lukewarm everything was getting, and we just kind of wanted to make a record that was quite angry and
abrasive.
Yeah, and generally visceral about that. So that's kind of what it is. And a lot of the tracks are about this. They're not all about the exact same thing, but not only one of the songs on the record is actually about me lyrically. The rest of it is all about this kind of this wider theme, and some of them are sort of a response to specific events and things that have happened, but I wanted to write it to be duplicitous so that you could listen to it and kind of attribute your own frustrations to it and not just have my ideas rammed down your throat, you know? So, mm-hmm.
we kind of used, to kind of summarize all of that as well, we kind of used our own, it's actually a pop punk record, this, because it's actually, it actually revolves around our own hometown.
You want to get out.
Which it's not really, it's very fascinating. Well, we've been fascinated with it when we realized what an absolute freak show it is. It's one of those towns where there's no place like it that we've ever been to that exists. And it's very beautiful, but in a very kind of dystopian and very kind of sad sense. And it does breed poverty, ignorance, and
addiction.
It's an addiction. Yeah, there's the teenage pregnancy is high, drug addiction's high, employment is unemployment is very high, employment's very low, and we kind of wanted to almost like use that as an example, but also it's kind of nice because I feel like anyone that listens to the record can really apply that to anywhere that they're from, that they are also unhappy with or don't feel fulfilled with as well.
And so Blackpool, where we live, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, was like this jewel of the UK. It was the place where the main holiday destination of the whole country. And then when flights to Europe, Spain, you know, all those kind of places became cheaper, obviously you want to go and be on the beach in Spain instead of fucking Blackpool, so people would fly there, and Blackpool just really tanked because of it. And there's the constant theme of, like, I guess I hate using the words utopia and dystopia because I think they're extreme and overused, but there was this kind of this real booming kind of golden era in the 20th century, culturally and economically and everything, in the West. And then, at least, that's the only thing I can sort of speak on behalf of. And then, obviously, now we are kind of taking a downturn economically, socially, and culturally. And Blackpool kind of serves, there's a kind of past and present sort of theme running all the way through. And because Blackpool is so kind of fucked up now, it's this really nice metaphor for it. It's also super fucking weird as a place to live. But I think that it also serves as a metaphor nationally and also as the, you know, in terms of the wider world. Because the UK is in a very strange place right now, but... So America, so is Europe, so, you know, it's an international, I think crisis is a strong word, but an international phenomenon at least.
Mm-hmm. I remember that Blackpool was the first city that I had to do a presentation in fifth grade in English about.
Oh, wow.
Because we all had to choose a city, and I thought, okay, Blackpool has a big dancing competition, or had it, I don't know. It's
still
years
does.
Ago.
Yeah.
So I talked about Blackpool. I don't remember anything.
Oh, God, yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting place. It's kind of weird because it's one of those places that I feel like has never changed, which is kind of like a comforting thing, but it's also like really sad to see that nothing's changed at the same time.
Definitely.
And you can see the same signs, the same stalls,
the same people,
all just kind of decaying and rotting away. I don't mean it to, you know, I don't want to sound so dismal, but it really is quite a sad place to look at, especially in the winter. In the summertime, though, it's like, it is oddly beautiful.
Yeah,
you know, it's got a very strangeness to it. You know,
I really like it. Like,
we all love.
We have a soft
from.
Spot for it. Yeah, for sure. I don't want to be there forever, but it's. There's nowhere like it. It's definitely an interesting place to grow up, and it's got a rich history of, you know, bands and I guess general like
entertainment
culture. Yeah, for sure.
Robert Smith from The Cure was actually from Blackpool.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it was. Guy from the Pet Shop Boys, the singer Whitesnake.
Someone from Jethro Tull.
Yeah, someone from Jethro. I believe the saxophonist from Jethro Tull. Could be wrong. Could be wrong.
Yeah.
So, which songs of the new record would you like to talk about, or would you point out especially?
Well, I guess at the time of this being released, obviously Halo's already out now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of the first single from it, which is about drug addiction, but addiction in general, and Blackpool has a big problem with that. But again, the addiction is sort of a metaphor for everything that, you know, we've just talked about, a kind of societal, cultural addiction. So there is that. The second single, which I believe will be out this time, is a song called Bad Machine, which, again, like, I don't want to keep saying that every song is a little bit different, but it kind of echoes similar themes to the general vibe of the album. And to be honest, Bad Machine is probably the best footnote for the whole record. That's the one that kind of, I mean, that's the kind of first song that lyrically I wrote where I kind of thought, well, yeah, I've kind of said what I wanted to say and let's expand on that, you know. There's a song called the last track on the record. I'm not going to talk about that actually. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think about the fucking album now. Our favourite song, or at least my favourite song, and I know most of the guys in the band feel the same, is a track called England's Dreaming, which is a song about. There's been a lot of changes in the UK over the past year, as it has been in America as well. And there's a lot of times when I will kind of wake up in the morning and get this news about something that happened, and I've been like, what the fuck? And it kind of made me lose a bit of faith in my kind of fellow Englishmen. And we spent a lot of time in America, and we would kind of come home and be like, oh, fucking...
Things aren't much better
sucks,
back here,
man.
Are they?
Yeah, things aren't much better, yeah.
Yeah.
And just kind of like a bit of a disgust with your kin, I suppose. So that's what that's... kind of that song's about, but musically it's kind of one of our favourite tracks on the record, and I think it's the direction we're going to be exploring a lot more in the future. It's like a really bluesy kind of heavy vibey song. I think just from my perspective, I think the guitar work on that track is amazing. The tones, that's a main feature of the record, is the guitar tones. Is like, we spent so much time working on that, and Mike Sapone is an evil genius who produced it, and you know, I think we tested, 50 guitar pedals in the shootouts?
More.
Happy to say, though, that the last pedal did win on one of the tests. Yeah. So.
101st pedal won. Yeah. I know we had to pick a different amp as well, so yeah. To move on to amps. Yeah, we had so much at our disposal in the studio. Mike Sapone brought so many guitar pedals and different amps and different guitars, and you just try... different guitars with different amps, with different pedals, with different cables, with different mic placements. And when you get there and you start recording, you just think, how are we ever going to finish this album? But Mike Sapone, and we recorded with a guy called Brett, who is in the movie Life, and he engineered the record. He's also in Crime in Stereo and I Am the Avalanche as well.
Busy boy.
And he's amazing as well. And it ran so smoothly, and there's so much like we thought that we were going to be really stressed about, that it just happened automatically, and you kind of like almost play it by ear, where you're like, that sounds good, let's roll with it. And I'm kind of one of those people where like I'm very indecisive, and if I think that I can do something better, then I'll try and chase that. Whereas they say, you know, this sounds really good, don't be scared, let's just fucking go with it. And we did, and they kind of were captains of the ship.
That being said, though, they weren't afraid to. If they thought we could beat it, we would chase that dragon and just keep going and keep going, man. Like, we worked long fucking days for a month.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was what an experience, man. There's a song called the opening track of the record is the title track of the album, Welcome to the Neighborhood, and that's one of my favorites as well. It's pretty much just like a hip hop song, and it's just about like. Again, the theme of the album, but like Blackpool as well. I kind of had that in mind when writing the lyrics, like the weirdness and the wonderfulness of the place. And I was trying to explore a bit more of like an R&B vibe with the vocals, but then we tried to sort of write like a hip hop song and then pull it back into line and make it different with the kind of more rock, metal, industrial, and then straight up pop vibes of the record. So we kind of threw in all these like big, heavy room drums and cool guitar tones and weird synths and stuff that kind of brought it into the line with the rest of the record.
That's probably one of my favourite tracks too, actually. I think a real game changer was like, we bought a synth, like a MIDI keyboard, I remember like messing about on it, probably a bit too much, as you do, you know, you kind of like just play with it, and I started like jokingly almost like putting synth in some of the songs. And then I think it was kind of weird because I kind of just thought you guys were just going to be like, this is weird, this is stupid or whatever. And it kind of, some of it stuck. And then we were like, oh, hang on a second, like we've got something here and we can explore this avenue. And I think that was a massive game changer. And I was actually really surprised, like, because Bad Machine, the track that we were talking about before, was almost entirely written on piano, mm-hmm. Which was a completely different vibe, like with heavy choruses, but piano verses. Sounded a little bit cheesy, but I think that was like the first time when we realized that we could put more of that synth into the tracks than, you know, as much as we wanted, you know. So it was definitely a game changer.
I think a lot of people think of like synth and rock music, it can be done very in a very lame way. People think of like some of these metalcore bands, cheesy metalcore, and like fucking Attack and all that kind of stuff, you know. But but we all kind of collectively got more into bands like Nine Inch Nails, Aphex Twin, Ministry, and all these kind of heavier bands that used it in a very vulgar way, but also kind of a tasteful way, if that makes sense. Like, it's very intense, but it's not, it's definitely by no means cheesy. And we kind of love those sort of synth sounds rather than the cheesy keyboard, you know, Korg sounds. And Sapone is also a big fan of all these bands, which is why we kind of clicked with him and wanted to work with him. So he was like a kid in a candy shop, because I don't think he's worked with too many bands, I could be wrong, that are really kind of wanted to have those kind of sounds in it. No, it's good. So, and he has like a fucking room full of analog synths. So when we were like, yeah, we want this record to have all these kind of influences in, he kind of turned up with a truck full of all this shit and was like, let's go to work. And he starts just playing with all this crazy stuff and manipulating all these sounds, and we use like a vocoder and old autotune plugins and lots of kind of weird shit. So
I love that guy, man. Like, we worked with him before for pre-production, and like, he did, you know, he went above and beyond as a producer, but he's also a really dear friend. He brought us, when we got to the studio, he brought us a care package with like food and stuff like that, just really nice things. He always took us out for, we went out, watched movies with him in the cinema, and went out for meals with him, and he barbecued for us. And I just want to say, this guy is like the best.
He's our best mate. Yeah, he's the best. We love him.
Yeah. But do we have time to do a track by track, or is that too much?
I don't think so. Yeah.
It's too much, isn't it?
Yeah. I just wanted to say I love Flower in the Dustbin. Is it the right title? Yeah.
Yeah,
that will be the third single from the record, I think, won't it?
Okay. Yeah, we're shooting a really cool video for that. That song throughout the from when we get back until when we go on tour next, actually, for like a month. So it's gonna be cool, yeah.
And I like the louder parts where you're shouting a little bit.
Yeah, I'm the heaviest. Yeah.
It's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. I hope it will be out like before the record comes out.
May be best to liaise with Denise about the best way to when to do that, you know, because
she knows everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she knows more than we do. We have no fucking idea, but. Wasn't sure how much we could give away or whatever and talk about, but I don't suppose it really matters that much.
I think the track list is out officially.
Yeah, I posted it on our, and I missed off one song as well.
We're not like as like for this time right now anyway, we're not as like secretive as, or as like, I don't know, secretive as we used to be. You know, we kind of just want everyone to know at this point, and we just kind of want to get the message out and not that bothered.
Yeah. I just want people to hear it, man.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm
looking
forward to the record when it's out.
Yeah, me
thank
too.
You.
Man.
Well, you
me
have
too.
It now anyway, so now you've got to delete it.
Von ihrem Toyota-Partner mit diesem Leasing-Auftakt. Der neue Toyota Yaris-Hybrid. Ab 179 Euro im Monat. Ohne Anzahlung. Seine Sicherheitsassistenten laufen mit. Und ja, ab ins Netz mit voller Konnektivität. Auch am Start die Toyota Team Deutschland Sondermodelle. Ohne Anzahlung geht's in die nächste Runde. Jetzt los sprinten zu ihrem Toyota-Partner.
Wusstest du, dass TK Maxx immer die besten Markendeals hat? Duftkerzen für alle? Sportoutfits? Stylische Pieces für dein Zuhause? Designer-Handtasche? Check, check, check. Bei TK Maxx findest du große Marken zu unglaublichen Preisen. Psst. Im Onlineshop auf tkmaxx.de kannst du rund um die Uhr die besten Markendeals shoppen. TK Maxx, immer der bessere Deal im Store und online.
Von 0 auf 100. Aral feiert 100 Jahre mit über 100.000 Gewinnen. Zum Beispiel ein Jahr frei tanken. Jetzt ein Dankeschön rubbellos zu jedem Einkauf. Alle Infos auf aral.de. Aral, alles super.